since we're still in Chodesh Sivan, we could still talk a little bit about this. Matan Torah. Matan Torah, Shavuos is called, Lashon Chazal, like a wedding, Kachasana. And some have a minhag to read Oksubim on Shavuos. Oksubim is written in HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Klal Yisrael. And some have a minhag to read Tnayim on Oksubim. There's Goyne Hadayus wrote certain Oksubim, wrote Oksubim, wrote Tnayim. Like a chasana. I think it's the most strangest wedding I ever heard of, was this chasana between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. What usually happens is, when you go to a wedding, then the chosn comes to the wedding call, the kala comes to the wedding call, they have over there a simcha, they dance and they sing, right? They have over there a whole band, and you have food and everyone's happy, and then after everything is over, they both go home together. A wedding isn't just a party, and then each one goes to his house. We go home together. We're married. Over here, Hashem came, Mishmei Shemayim. He brought with him his whole band, his whole chevra, a couple of million malachim. Klai Yisrael came. We all came to Har Sinai. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wedding. After it's all over, Klai Yisrael went home. Hashem went to Mishmei Shemayim. And that's the end of the story. Just a second. Where's the wedding? Aren't we supposed to be together? So you'll tell me what do you mean? We have the Torah. Now forever together, we have the Torah. Is that true? We did not have the Torah at the time. Hashem came, gave us Aseret HaDibros. We had no idea what this includes. Until Moshe Rabbeinu went up Har Sinai to 40 days. And when Moshe Rabbeinu went up Har Sinai for 40 days, Hashem told him the whole Torah. Until then, Hashem said, Zecha Hashem Shabbos Akadshoi, we had no idea what this includes. Does it mean to learn all Shabbos, to sleep all Shabbos, you're not allowed to write on Shabbos, not allowed to pick up or stand on Shabbos, not allowed to put tables, benches, we didn't know what it means. We didn't know all the halachas. We had the Torah Shabbat, we had the Torah Shabbat. We had no idea what the Sitzach means, we had no idea what the Signet means. We had no halachas whatsoever. Hashem said the 10 Aseret HaDibros. We had a sketchy idea what Hashem wants from us. Hashem did not elaborate. Hashem said, go up to Har Sinai, I'm going to give you all the whatever this includes, all the Tariq mitzvahs. So what happened was, we came to the UK, I'm waiting over here. We danced, we sang, we said, we were beautiful, we were so happy. And then we went home without anything, and Hashem went Shmei Shemayim without anything. And Moshe goes up and asks, yes, he gets a Torah. So what's the wedding? That's a wedding that the chosn goes home and the kala goes home? So I think pshat is, there's such a thing called erusin, something called nisuin. In the days of Gemara, what it used to be, that a chosn and the kala met, the chosn takes out a ring, gives it to the kala, and says, Havei et mekadesh lebitva azuk, that's Moshe Yisrael. She is now an Eishes Ish. They go home, he goes to his house, she goes to her house, and they stop appearing for when they're going to come together. It usually took something like a year. He prepares the house, he prepares whatever he needs to bring his wife into his house, she prepares her jewelry, she has whatever she needs to be, have Moitza Chayn, Ve'in Abayla. A year later they meet together, and then they're together forever. So what I think happened over here was, and I think I have rights to it, I think, I'm not going to go into it now, but I think I have rights, that Vav Sivan was Erus. Hashem came to Klal Yisrael, he gave them the Aseret HaDibros, I said, Havei at mekudeshes li be'aseret HaDibros eilu k'das v'eshev Yisrael. Erus is over, Klal Yisrael goes back to the home, Hashem goes back home, and now we're ready, now we're preparing for Nisuin. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai, and now he's preparing for Nisuin. It's 40 days of preparation. When at the end of 40 days, it could be Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, Moshe Rabbeinu can come down with Haluchos, and that's going to be Nisroi. The plan was, the original plan was, that when it's going to happen Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, Shavuos is child's play compared to the Simcha of Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. If Klai Yisrael would not have done Chet HaEgel, they would have been kept on with their munim. And Moshe would have come down the next day with the luchos, and not focus on the luchos. We'll be enjoying Chiyas HaMeisim. It says in Medrash that if there would have been no luchos, that if we'd have kept the luchos for Shainis, we'd learn Torah without any yegiyah. No pain, no exertion. As we know, when we learn Torah, it's hard. It's meant to be hard. You learn Torah and you forget. You forget. I have to chazer again, and you chazer again, and you chazer again, and you forget, and you chazer again, until you get it. If we would have had Torah, Luchos HaShoinis, we would never forget Torah. It would be so gishmak, no exertion would be hard. No one would ever die, says the Chazal. It had been Tchiyas HaMeis. Just Achas Hayam sitting and enjoying Shechina. Hashem gave us the Torah, sitting and enjoying Shechina. That would have been Nisuin. You made one mistake. No mistake. You made the ego. And we lost everything. We lost everything. No Nisuin. We got back part of it. We got back Luchos Shniyos. We got the Mishkan. Rashi says when they came into the Mishkan, it was like Nisuin. There's a Rashi like that. It's Kekalish and Nechnes L'chukah. Okay. Now we're together with Hashem in one house. Like a chosen color. But the original plan was, Shiva Asa B'Tamuz was supposed to be the happiest day of the world. The most happy day in history was supposed to be Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. Now what happened was, Klai Yisrael made a mistake. What was the mistake? They made the ego. Why did they make such a stupid mistake? You couldn't make a bigger mistake than that. No matter how hard you try. They made the biggest mistake in history. Anyway, the biggest mistake in history, I know eating the Eitadas is a bigger mistake than that, smaller mistake than that, but it's one of the biggest mistakes in history. Make the ego, what for? So it says the Medrash, Rashi brings it. They looked up to the Shemaya and they saw Moshe Meis. They saw Moshe Meis. If Moshe died, it's all over, we're making the ego. It's not understanding. They need explanation. Need explanation. So what if Moshe died? He's Aaron, he's Chor, he's Shimon's Kainim, he's Yeshua. What's the problem? When Moshe died eventually 40 years later, they started making all the eagles. Moshe died, they said, but Yahweh's Moshe Yisha the Kim, and Yahweh's Yeshua. Tell you, because there's no one, nothing happened. Moshe died, they have Yeshua. And over here, all of a sudden, they look up, Moshe died, and they go, oh, Yush! Yush, they're giving up, it's all over, there's a man to the ego. Why are you doing, why are you making the ego? Let's become the ego. So I think Pshat is, it's a theory of mine, I think it's Emes. At that point, in Tez Zayin Tammuz, they looked up and they saw Moshe died. He says the Chazal, that the Satan showed them Moshe missed. That was the most terrible thing that could have happened in history. And Moshe should have died at that point. They would have willingly been masking that they should die and not Moshe. That Moshe dying is much, 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 much worse than us dying. The worst thing that could ever happen to us is that Moshe should die at that point. Why? As we said, Vav Sivan, Hashem came to Har Sinai, and Hashem promised us. Ooh, did He promise us? What did He promise us? Atem Tiyulim Amleches Kainim the Great Kodesh, Kili Kol Haaretz, Atem Li Segulim Kol Amim. If you will take my Torah, you'll be the most close. You'll be close to me. I'm going to give you Oyim Hazah. I'm going to give you Oyim Haba. I'm going to give you Tchisa Mason. I'm going to give you Mashiach. I'm going to give you, I'm going to be close to you, I'm going to give you, I'm going to be close to you, I'm going to give you, I'm going to be close to you, I'm going to give you, I'm going to be close to you. Right? Hashem promised and promised and promised and promised and promised. And we said, okay. We said, okay. So Hashem said, okay. Remember. So from now on, know what we deserve. You have to be loyal to me. I'm giving you 10 mitzvahs. You have a sketchy idea what the mitzvahs are. You don't know exactly what they are. But you're going to get the hemshich. And you're Mekayim. Mekayim? Remember, yes? Yes! Remember, know what I deserve, right? Know what I deserve. Mekayim. Moshe goes up to the Shemaim to find out what all the Torah is about. And all of a sudden, he's dead. So just a second, just a minute. That means that we have no Torah? That means we have no Torah. That means we can never be mekayim any mitzvahs like we're supposed to? That means no mekayim mitzvahs any like we're supposed to. That means that we're not going to be close to Hashem? That means not going to be close to Hashem. That means there's no Mashiach, and no Olam Haba, and no Tchis HaMesim, and no Mamlech Kainim, I know Goy Kodesh, I know Zgul Kol Amim, and after him promise and promise and promise and promise, and that's what he does, next day Moshe, huh? I know that if a guy comes and says, kill, kill you, I say, what's my life worth anyway? I'll be Zeich Zoyim Abba, who cares? I'll kill myself. I'll be Zeich Lechai Netzach. But over here, the facing over here is, Hashem says, you're going to live like a dog, without anything to look forward to, and you can die like a dog. No Tchis HaMesim, no Olam Haba, no Mashiach, no nothing. And then I promise it's all gone. The Baruch Hashem, that's what you do to us? You come to us, we're at a wedding, you're Mekadosh us, and we promise we're going to be loyal to you, and then you say it's all over. It's all over. What did you do over here? On purpose you did it. At the crucial time, when Moshe was about to come down with the Torah, no one else in the world could ever go bring down the Torah. The only one who goes to Har Sinai to bring down the Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu. No one ever could do such a feat. Not Aaron, not Yeshua, not Chur, not no one. So, just a second. And you expect us to be loyal to you? You give us a kick? Like, get out of here, I don't want to see you again. And you want me to continue being loyal to you? And Hashem says, yes, that's what I want from you. And Klai Yisrael was not going to be Nisayin. That was the Nisayin of Tezayin Tammuz. I don't know if there was anyone in the world who ever had such a Nisayin in his life. Mitzad Echot, Hashem promised, did not keep his promise. That's what they thought. They didn't know that really Moshe, that's all a facade. Moshe is well and alive, and he's coming out tomorrow with the Torah, and you just keep looking at everything, you'll be happy. You'll be getting the Chesed. They didn't know that. They saw Choshech. Moshe is gone, it's all over. Forget it. It's all over. And on the other hand, Hashem says, are you still loyal to me? And he says, you know, we love you very much, but this is too much. This is asking too much. And over here they feel. And the shayla is, what did Hashem do over here? How did Hashem give such a nisayon? What's pshat in this? Such a nisayon? Hashem says, are you loyal to me? No matter what. And I said before that no one ever had such an insane, and I had chavot. I'm changing my mind. There's someone that goes through such an insane. Every woman who gets married has such an insane. Like we said, there's something called erusin and then called nisayin. They come together, and the chosn gives her the wing, and he says, have you ever And now she's Eishishish. She goes home, and he goes home. And she says, just a second. Where's my husband? Where's what he promised? Where's the house? Where's the love? Where's the closeness? What's going on over here? And there's no closeness. Nothing. Nothing. So she says, okay. So I go to my old boyfriend. You go to your old boyfriend. The Chaim Nissen listens. You're an Eishes Ish. Hashem, if every woman, before she gets married, before she goes into the Nisuin, she has this Nisuin. And the Nisuin is the following. Are you still loyal, even if you don't feel closeness? That's the question. Are you loyal in any case, or just when you feel closeness? And this woman, every woman, before the Nisuin, she has to show her loyalty no matter, even if you don't feel closeness. And over here there was the same matzav. Hashem brought Avison. Hashem went back. Tyson went back. And Hashem says, I'm going to give them a saying that I will check their loyalty. I promised them a lot. And my question is, are they loyal even if they don't get it? And Avison looked up and here's Moshe dead. And Hashem said, it's all over. It's all over. Are you still loyal? And over here, Klai Yisrael didn't stand by Nisayin. If Klai Yisrael had stood by Nisayin and said, Vayishan, no matter what you do to us, no matter what you do to us, we're always loyal to you. We'll never go to any other way deserve. Then we'd have had Nisayin. Then we'd have had Lukas Hashemis, Chis HaMesin, terribly Yagir, terribly Omot, terribly Vishikha. Sitting and enjoying in Hashem, close. And then Hashem promised, we're waiting for Achas HaYomim. But we have to pass that Nisayin. You know, the day before. These 40 days that we're sitting in the middle of right now, these are these days that we're right now between Shavuos and Shavuos HaKadamos. That's these 40 days. These were supposed to be the preparation for the most wonderful day in the world. And it's going to come to a time that Shavuos HaKadamos is going to turn to a Yom Tov. What does it mean Shavuos HaKadamos turn to a Yom Tov? The original Shavuos HaKadamos is going to come back. The original Nisuin, the original plan of Nisuin, it's going to happen. And when you celebrate the Shavuos HaKadamos like you wanted to celebrate it then. But it needs preparation. And that's these 40 days. My theory is, it's a theory. And my theory is that if we would sit in these 40 days and prepare for closeness to Hashem like we were supposed to prepare then, then Shavuos HaKadamos, we have Shavuos, a different Shavuos HaKadamos. It says in Medrash, and it's brought down La Halacha. In La Halacha it's brought down that we eat, Bilel Pesach, we eat eggs. Why do we eat eggs, Lel Seder? There's an egg on the table, and it says in the Mamas to eat an egg. Why do we eat eggs, Lel Seder? Because when someone, Rachman and son, is an oven, his father dies, or one of his close relatives dies, then he eats round things, he eats eggs. Let us say the Lel Pesach falls out the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. Right? This week, let us say it was Mitzvah Shabbos, Tisha B'Av is going to be Mitzvah Shabbos. You also shouldn't be a Tisha B'Av. So it says to eat eggs, like Lel Tisha B'Av. Like it says in Pasuk, his biani b'mroirim, I ate mora, Leil HaSeder, hivani lano. I had bitter things to eat on the Tisha B'Av. Leil HaSeder is the Tisha B'Av. And I don't understand the Ramah, I don't understand the Medrash. We're sitting over here at Leil HaSeder, you think about Tisha B'Av? What does Leil HaSeder have to do with Tisha B'Av? I think it's the biggest opposite in the world. He says, when you eat eggs, Leil HaSeder, think about Tisha B'Av. What's going on here? And again, it's a theory. It's a theory. But Libi Oimali Pshad is, because the way Yelena Seder is, That's how your Shavuos is. Because Leila Tehillah is the beginning of the steps of the Shavuos. And the way your Shavuos is, and that's how your 40 days are. And the way your 40 days are, that's how your Shabbat Shabbatam is in your Tisha B'Av is going to be. And if your Leila Tehillah is good, you're going to have a different Shabbat Shabbatam, a happy one. And if your Leila Tehillah is no good, then you have a different, then you have a that type of Tisha B'Av. And let us say that you start thinking about Tisha B'Av. If I want a good Tisha B'Av, let's have a good Leila Seder. And let us say that it can't work out like last year, then chances are that Tisha B'Av will be like last year. You got to know. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Poraduma. So it says, Rashi brings down, Chazal say, that for Aduma is Mechapo Chata Egel. Mechapo Chata Egel. It's interesting. Twice a year, we read for Aduma. Right? Pashas Poro and Pashas Chuka. Twice a year, we have a kesher to Chata Egel. Kisisa. And Shiva Sabatam. Both times, when times comes for the Chet HaEgel, there's Pora Aduma. It's interesting to notice. Right before Shiva Sabatam, you read Pashas Chukas. You have Pora Aduma to Mechap on the Chet HaEgel. And most years, when you read Pashas Kisisa, it's Pashas Pora. You're reading about the Chet HaEgel, you have Pora Aduma right here. Paradum is Mechap on Chet HaEgel. What's the kesh between Paradum and Chet HaEgel? So, there's a Dubin Magid who explains what's the point of Paradum. The Dubin Magid says like this. Here's the Magid to Kash. We came to Hashem promised us the Torah. He gave us the Torah. He explained us all the things of the Torah. Every mitzvah has an explanation. You go deep for nothing and you find an explanation. Explain the Melech knew the explanations of all the mitzvot of Torah. When he got to Parah Aduma, he got stuck. It says in the Pasuk, "Amati Ech Kemo." Shlomo HaMelech said, "I thought I'm going to be smart, I'm going to be wise, I'm going to understand." V'hi v'chol kumi meni, and the true wisdom is far from me. Chazal say, when he got to Parah Aduma, he said, "V'hi v'chol kumi meni." Parah Aduma, he says, "I didn't begin to understand the Torah." So Duman says, what's going on over here? Hashem started saying to the Torah, and he says, forget it. Why did he forget it? So he says a marshal. Duman says a marshal. He says a marshal. There's once a fellow, I don't know how to say it, a lowlife, a boor, a good for nothing, who was very rich. One day he decided, listen, money I have, covered I can buy, but I want some real covered. He goes over to the shatkin of the town and says, listen, I want you to talk over to the Rav of the city. I took a shidduch, my son with his daughter. My daughter with his son. The fellow started laughing. He couldn't hold himself in. That's a good one. What did you say again? Tell me again. It's a good one. Tell me the joke again. She says, listen, I'm not joking. I want you to talk a shidduch, the Rav's son and my daughter. He said, yeah. Say it again, that was a good one. The Rav, Eloi, you know, the Rav, his Eloi's son, with your daughter. She says, listen, you can live as much as you want. You pull this off, you get $10,000. And that's no matter, over here, stop living, right? That's not a living man anymore. You pull this off, I'm not going to tell you how, I'm saying what to do. You pull this off, you get $10,000. And you can promise in my name anything you want. Promise him anything. Okay. So, the Shachar hears this, he stops laughing. He goes over to the woman and says, Rebbe, you know, I got something to tell you. I have one talk of Shidduch. He said, with who? Besides, before we talk about who, let's talk about what. One of the most chashuv people in the town has a wonderful, wonderful daughter, and you should know that this person is willing to marry for your children. He's willing to to be mefanis you to keep, pay for your upkeep, pay for whatever you need for the next 30 years. He's willing to give anything you'll ever need for the next 30 years. It's all on his cheshbon. Marrying over your children is nothing. I know you have chaybis, he'll pay all your chaybis. Maybe it's a good idea. Who are we talking about? Reb Moshe, who lives in another street. They said, Reb Moshe? You mean Moshe the Bora? Is that who you mean? So, some people call him that, but I'm talking about his daughter. So, the mother said, forget it. But the Shadchan wasn't called the Shadchan for nothing, and he goes and he smooches and mooches and mooches. And he knows how to press the right place. And eventually, Rav says, okay, I'm asking to the shidduch. What I need, I'm a big chayvis, and what I have to do, and I have the brave. Okay, I'll take his daughter. Right? So he goes back, they have his name, and this fellow is so happy, this Moshe. Comes Shabbos, little Shabbos, everyone's going upstairs to Rav and says, good Shabbos. And this Moshe goes over and says, and the Rav doesn't give a move. And he gives a look as cold as ice and says, good Shabbos. And this Moshe feels like 2 cents. What? He runs to the Shatran and says, that has to pay more my money for? To get this spear and this cold as ice? The Shatran goes to the Rav and says, there they have a kasha. What's the kasha? The minig is that mechutanim are nice to each other. And over here he comes over to you and says, good Shabbos. And you don't seem to give it again. Is that how mechutanim act? So the Rebbe says, you had a kasha, since you're mechutanim, then I have to have shaychus to him. I have a kasha faket. Since I have no shaychus to him, why am I as a mechutan? And that's a kasha I don't have a teretz for. Maybe you have a teretz for this kasha. How did I ever come as mechutan? What kasha do I have with a fellow? I see no relation between us at all. I have no barrier. You took me into it. I have no idea how you took me into it, but I have no barrier. So I became his mechut. But I'm close to him. I should be close to him. No question. So the Divine Magid says Hashem promised us, he gives us the whole Torah. But in truth, he has to teach us something. Hashem, with us, what question do we have? Hashem says, what I gave you, I gave you. But I have to teach you my Torah. I have to teach you my explanation. No question. That's for Adum. That's Adum Magazine. And I, Hakotan, continue the story. And I say the story had continued like this. This Moshe was boiling. Boiling. What a battle of Shidduch on the spot. That's what I'm paying all my money for? For this? Did he get this slap in the face? But after he saw, Maisa, I want to be Mechut Nadarov. And every week he goes over to the Rav and says, good Shabbos, Rebbe. And the Rav stares him down and says, good Shabbos. And then a week later he just tries again and says, good Shabbos, Rebbe. And the Rav stares him down and says, good Shabbos. And this continues on for 2 months. And after 2 months, one day Shabbos, he goes over and says, good Shabbos, Rebbe. And the Rav says, good Shabbos, Mechutan, how are you doing? And he says, Rebbe, what happened? He says, I'll tell you what happened. The whole time I was wondering, What kesher do we have? But now I notice that no matter how much I try to rebuff you and try to push you away, you're always coming back and you always want to have kesher to me. And you understand the mile of being a mechutan to someone who has teyur. And you understand the mile of being kusher to the world. I'm proud to be a mechutan. We have kesher. Hashem says, I don't want to teach you Torah. And to Rabbi Nishalaylam, you'll teach me, you won't teach me. I'm going to keep you mitzvahs. I'm going to keep you poor Aduma. No matter how much you push me away, and no matter how much you call to me, and no matter how much you rebuff me, I'm always loyal to you. And Hashem says, I will your machafah, that's a kapara of the egel. The egel was the second we felt it's hard. We don't feel kesher. We don't feel closeness. Rebbe, I can't take this anymore. I'm leaving. And Paraduma says, no matter how much you push me, no matter how much you call to me, no matter how much you rebuff me, how much I see Choshech, I'm always loyal to you. And that's this week's parasha. I'm always loyal to you. There's no master in the world that I'll leave you. Maybe you could say that's why Paraduma is Mechap on the Egel. But like Yehiz tells the halacha, the many times that a person feels low. That's a life that the Ben Tam calls it Yimeha Ava Yimeha Sinai. The days of love, the days of hate. Hashem says, Ki'ilu, I hate you. Let's see what you're going to do now. Let's see what you're going to do now. And our job is, eventually, no matter what you do to me, you'll never get rid of me because I love you so much. And in any matter, be loyal. And that is our emissary, God. That's where we grow. If we don't grow from the days of Ava, we grow from the days of sinner. The biggest wealth that Christ could have ever gained is Tes Zayin Tammuz. The day of the sinner, we could have gotten the highest. But because we fell then, we fell. And we're always waiting for the days to go. And if you look good, you'll see that the hardest day this year, that's my impression, is these days. It's just so hard to continue. We finish Shavuos, and it's almost famous my name, and just continue. And Hashem says, yeah, I'm making it hard on purpose. I'm making it hard on purpose. These are hard days. Because I want to see if you're still loyal to me. I can give you a Shavuos sometimes like we're supposed to be. You want some Shavuos Zeicher to Shavuos Vatamas like it was supposed to be.
On their level, everything they experienced about the time and they saw all the needs, and how could it, they weren't, I mean, the president of Sayyid, they weren't, maybe they're just a little bit harder, but
Hashem gives every person the same to see what he is. To see what he is.
Right. And they were able to stand up to it.
Hashem, they could have and you could have. Hashem never gives a person the same he can't stand up to. Yeah.
That's the bottom line. So it doesn't matter how big it is.
There's lots of not that say, I can never stand up to it. Hashem only gives you the same. But it's the same type in the same. It's a level that we can stand up to. Hashem gave us a person to stand up to. It's not something that Hashem gives us anything.